Bloomington Normal parents received troubling news to start the school year. Slightly elevated lead levels found in some Unit 5 and District 87 elementary schools. The lead was found because of a new state law that went into effect this year, requiring elementary schools and daycares statewide to test their drinking water. GLT's Ryan Denham tries to answer the real question, how worried should parents be about this? He starts by asking Justin DeWitt, the Illinois Department of Public Health's environmental health chief engineer.
I think what level should you be concerned about? Really, any level of lead, you should be concerned. But within that, I think there's levels of concern. Should you pull your kid out of that school or take some drastic steps? Absolutely not. You know, that is not the message we're sending. I think parents need to ask questions and work affirmatively with the districts that they belong to about what their plans are to address any levels of lead in the drinking water at the school.
District 87 notified parents last month that elevated lead levels were found in possible drinking water sources at four of its elementary schools, Bent, Irving, Oakland, and Sheridan. Most are kitchen-type sinks in cafeterias, and others are sinks in nursing offices. One is a classroom sink that's also used as a drinking fountain. Here is District 87 Superintendent Barry Riley talking to me last month.
I'm not a health expert, but obviously if I'm a parent of a kid, I may have some questions. We provide them with some information to help answer those questions.
District 87 has shut off each of the water sources and will address them by replacing fixtures, adding filters, and other changes. Parents were notified because fixtures in those four schools tested just above the state's new lead threshold for notification, 5 parts per billion in the water. In Unit 5, 6 schools were found with lead levels above that notification threshold. It's Fairview, Colleen Hoos, Hudson, Parkside, Sugar Creek, and Towanda. Unit 5 superintendent says those lead levels of above 5 parts per billion were found in what is called a first flush of water when a tap is first opened. Those levels dropped to non-detectable once the water in the faucets had run for several minutes, what's called a flush. Daniel says Unit 5 intends to fix the problem by replacing the aerators and faucets that contain lead.
We'll probably look at non-detectable numbers, but if there were, we would go to another phase of mitigation, which could be a filter. It could be a replacement of a sink, something of that nature, and we'll just work our way through.
Here's Justin DeWitt from the Illinois Department of Public Health talking about how schools are dealing with problem fixtures once they're found.
Where we see these excessive levels, meaning, you know, triple digits or even high double digits, we anticipate, and I think most schools are taking immediate action. They're taking that kitchen sink or that faucet out of service, and they're trying to find whatever way possible to reduce the amount of lead in that water. Usually it involves changing out the fixture, and we see an improvement right away. And I've not found a school yet that isn't acting on those levels when they get them. Where we see these single-digit levels, there could be a lot of reasons for that, and those are hard to track down. It could be somewhere in the plumbing, not in the fixture. There could be a lot of reasons they're seeing those very low levels. And what we often find is if the district and its students just flush a little bit of water through that fixture before they use it, that those levels typically will go down to zero or what we call non-detect. So some of it is just a cultural shift for us as users of potable water in buildings, rather than walking up to the drinking fountain and, you know, bending over to get a drink and drinking that first drop of water. We may let that run for 30 seconds or so before we do that. And just by doing those few simple things, students, teachers, parents can all reduce their risk. And that really applies not just in schools, but everywhere we go.
Illinois environmental groups work with the Public Health Department and Illinois Attorney General's Office to craft the new state law, which went into effect in January. Jennifer Walling is Executive Director of the Illinois Environmental Council, which was involved with shaping the law.
Well, I think that for us, lead in drinking water and lead in the environment has been a huge concern for decades. But I think with the crisis that happened in Flint, there is an increased public awareness of the ability of lead pipes to contribute lead into the drinking water that we have. So I think that we've been concerned with this issue for a number of years, but this was an opportunity. There was the public will to really do something about it. In Illinois, there's been a very checkered history of lead contamination and lead impacting our children. The state has done a lot on paint, but we have a huge number of lead pipes. And this doesn't refer to schools, but just to give you an idea, Illinois really kept installing lead pipes in many places up until the last moment that they could. Lead service lines stopped being in use in 1987. I have heard data from the Environmental Defense Fund that suggests that a quarter of all lead service lines in the nation are located in Illinois. So we have a huge amount of lead that we're going to have to eventually replace that is within our water system, our water infrastructure. And there have been hot spots of different tests that have shown that in certain schools, there are issues with fountains.
There's a reason that elementary schools and daycares, with the youngest children in Illinois, were chosen. Here's Justin DeWitt.
The target audience for lead and lead poisoning is really the infants through 6 years of age. And so as you look at, for instance, adults, our absorption of lead is much different than an infant's. And so as the child becomes younger, we become more and more concerned about exactly what levels of lead that kid might be receiving. But some of the factors that we know about are just diminished IQ, diminished brain development. And in the higher doses of lead, we start to see physiological issues with their body growth, their ability to control their muscles, and things of that nature. So it's really a broad spread of from everything from diminished IQ all the way up to very obvious physiological defects that come from being lead poisoned.
District 87 told parents that the state's new threshold for notifying them about lead, 5 parts per billion, is lower than the federal government's safe water drinking threshold of 15 parts per billion. Justin DeWitt says the real target needs to be zero.
A little bit of apples and oranges. When you look at the federal drinking water standards, it provides for a 15 part per billion action level. And what that means is when the water supplier finds in their standard sampling values higher than 15 parts per billion, that they have to take action, either providing corrosion control or taking some other action to try and get those numbers down. And it's really not a health-based standard. It's more of a treatment, a corrosion control treatment action level for those providers. So when we looked at the law and we looked at where we might try to establish some values that were meaningful in a public health sense, that the only value that really means much of anything is zero. So when you look at any amount of lead being dangerous, the only place we can truly feel safe is when there's none there at all. And so non-detect is something that we use a lot in the public health realm to talk about when things are truly safe.
Jennifer Walling from the Illinois Environmental Council says even low-level lead exposure needs to be flagged.
These parents should really encourage the schools to do what they can to replace any of those areas, to implement proper flushing protocol, to replace fountains that may have an issue, just to make sure that they're safe. And one of the things with very low-level lead exposure is that there's not outright symptoms like there might be with high levels of lead exposure. And so, but it still can cause organ damage, brain damage. I mean, I don't want parents to totally rush and look for cures for any of this. I mean, only high levels of lead is there a therapy that you go through. The other low levels of lead kind of leave your body over time. It's not a enormous freak out, but we should work to reduce and get rid of as much lead as possible in schools and that children are exposed to.
State health officials and school districts have been working on this testing since the beginning of the year. Justin DeWitt says the public health department got lots of questions from schools and their consultants up front. The department spent a lot of time interpreting the law and producing guidelines for those districts.
Once that information got out and schools started to digest it and understand that perhaps like sampling the water itself was something that they could do internally, I think things settled down a little bit and they just got to sampling. And once they had the results, getting those submitted to us and communicating those results to parents. So I think the initial angst that we saw early in the year has perhaps waned somewhat, and now we're just in this mode of trying to make sure that all the schools who are required to test do so by the end of the calendar year.
Jennifer Walling says the perfect time for testing is now, when the kids are back in the schools.
So we have seen some of the data from schools that were, for example, requesting waivers that have done this before. We've seen different school districts that are doing this, and there are a lot of school districts that are doing this now. It's hard to do over the summer when students aren't in because there is a standard for when you're testing lead that it has to be sitting there for only a certain period of time. So it can't be sitting there for 3 days. It has to be, I think it's 8 to 18 hours. So it's really perfect to do during the school year, at 6 a.m. before the kids get there. So that's when kind of why a lot of the testing is being done now. This is really the perfect time to do it. We're seeing a lot of school districts do it. I have heard of some places that really are seeing elevated levels of lead. The vast majority of samples are coming in at zero or undetectable. So that's great, but at least we're identifying where the issues are.
That's Jennifer Walling from the Illinois Environmental Council. Before that was Justin DeWitt from the Illinois Department of Public Health. I'm Ryan Denham.
Daycares before the year 2000 will also be required to conduct testing once rules are developed by the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services and the Illinois Department of Public Health.